Welcome to Calvin's Corner. My name is Phil Nasons, and I'm the co-host of this weekly Christian radio show, unlike any other Christian radio show that you've ever heard. We are presented by MichaelNunum.com. That's the home of the Phoenix Preacher. Please welcome him to the show. Pastor Michael Nunum, welcome to your own show.
Good morning, Phil.
Hey, happy New Year to you, too. See, I don't even know what day it is anymore. I'm so frazzled.
You are full of fire this morning.
Oh, yes. I got this big 44-ounce iced tea thing. So I swore off caffeine, but I like iced tea sometimes. So I'm a little fired up. How's your week been? I see that they talked about the rapture over an open blog.
Yeah, that's always going to be a hoot for everybody involved.
It sure is. Yes, of course. And we'll leave it at that. It's always a pleasure. I used to be one of those rapture dudes, and now I'm in the preterist camp, so I would probably just leave it at that, you know, and I kind of try to stay away from those kind of discussions.
Well, let's be specific here. You're in the partial preterist camp.
Yes, they would be hyper preterists, the other dudes.
Yeah, full preterism is
heresy. It's not even Christian.
Right. So I just wanted to get that out. So cut the volume of email down a little bit.
Oh, well, I'm grateful to you for that. But other than that, everything is going good. I bought my plane ticket for Maine.
There you go.
I'm not taking a bus this time. I'm taking a plane.
Well, it should be a very nice summer for you up there.
I would hope so. After my little run in last night, I decided I need a plane. I need to get out of here as fast as possible. But anyhow,
tell everybody who you had a run-in with.
Well, I'm not going to. That's not nice. But the thing is it was an interesting evening all the way around. But you know what's been interesting is Donald Trump. He's always interesting.
Uh-huh.
But he has decided, or he wants to see this happen, that people, ministries, Christian organizations who are 501c3 organizations who previously were not allowed to endorse a political candidate may now do so. And since you're a pastor, I was wondering, what do you think about all that?
Well, I think what Donald Trump wants is for the 81% of evangelicals who voted for him to be able to hear political pitches on his behest as we move into the midterms and when he's up for re-election again. I don't think Donald Trump has a Christian bone in his body. But he does know how to manipulate and play them. The question is it a good thing to have pulpits full of politics? And I would say no. Actually, if we weren't recording this, I'd say hell no.
Well, right. But since we are, and I don't have I'm not even going to bother with the bleep button. We're good, dude.
So in the history of the church and what pastors who are very involved in political activism would tell you is they would point to Wilberforce, who was the abolitionist in Britain, who helped end slavery there.
Mm-hmm.
Christians becoming involved in these types of social issues. Today, they would be talking about abortion, et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine. But the problem is, in my mind, is that we don't have to be partisan politically in order to teach about what the Bible says about various sundry issues. And what we have in this country today is a extremely partisan and extremely skewed view of what the Bible teaches about social issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work. So you may come up one week and speak against abortion, which I believe is a biblical position. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, you may be wanting to get up and talk about immigration. And in my opinion,
which is a death sentence if you do it correctly.
which is going to be a death sentence, which already has been a death sentence for some people who've been deported. That, to me, is a distortion of the biblical position. So what you're doing is you're actually supporting one party line. And what you've done, in my opinion, is pimp out your pulpit.
Wow, that's strong. You know something? I would be afraid that it would cause division. You know, like, look at this election. This election, well, look at the last three, I should say. Look at the divisiveness and the divisive nature these elections have been a part of. They've done more damage, more harm than good, I think. Wouldn't you be afraid to do that in your church? You could have a split in a heartbeat.
I did have a split.
All right. Well, that's because but you're not an apostate anymore, so they have no real grounds for that. We've determined that you're not, biblically, of course.
I did have a split because of this.
Right.
And extremely painful.
Because that's a political split, too. You changed affiliations, so to speak, right?
Yeah, I did, but that's not what caused the split. The split was caused by speaking against some of the Republican platform and speaking as clearly as I could to the alleged holiness of Donald Trump.
Ooh.
And that it didn't go over real well. But you have hit upon something that is near and dear to my heart. When we get to the point where we are so motivated by political issues that we become partisan in the pulpit, you have just excluded 50% of the public from participating in your worship. You have ceased to be a church, and you have started to become a political action committee.
You know, when I was in school, Michael, they told us in a homiletics class that the main thing that you want to do as a pastor, preacher, whatever, when you're preaching and teaching, you want to have some preaching, some teaching, and some healing. And you won't get any of those things if you start to use or exert your influence in political circles and talking politics and endorsing candidates. You won't have any of those things in your church anymore.
No. And again, one of the reasons Anglicanism became not just attractive, it's been attractive to me for 15 years. But one of the reasons I decided that I had to make that jump now to go fully into Anglicanism was because we have a liturgy. And we have a liturgy, and we follow the church calendar. We have this built-in protection against me. You're not going to hear a lot of my opinions going through the church liturgy. You're going to be drawn into the cycle of understanding your sin, receiving and hearing the reception of grace and absolution. You're going to go to the Lord's table. You're going to be focused on Christ, not on me. And there's never been a time, and you know, you can send me the hate mail, there's never been a time in the modern history of the church when we needed more protection from pastors than we do right now.
Man, that's a good statement, too. You're right. We need more than that, though. We need protection from a lot of different things. That's what a shepherd does. That's what a pastor does. His job is to protect his sheep, correct?
To protect them and to feed them and to feed them properly. However right my political opinions might be, that's not why they came to church.
Well, let's hope not.
They came to church to learn of Christ and be fed by him. And it is so easy, especially in in this hyper politicized partisan world we live in, for a pastor to go over the edge. And, you know, there are places, as I look back, I probably went over that edge, because some of the things that were being put forth as being Christian were, in my mind, anti-Christian. But the end of the day, the people still need to be protected from me. I need to be there to offer them the Word of God. I need to be there to offer them the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. I need to be there to anoint them with oil and pray for their healing, and to provide a sanctuary where they can come to meet Christ without all of the noise that they're bringing in with them from the previous week. You know, we have had people come to church with blood pressure problems because they had a steady diet of partisan news and talk radio that just kept them inflamed 24 hours a day.
Which is what it's meant to do, by the way. You know,
which is what it's meant to do. I mean, I believe that they actually know that physiologically they're addicting people.
Well, of course
to adrenaline.
And you ever had a program director?
Oh yeah. Well, no, because I don't take direction well.
Okay,
as you know,
I have. I can't go any further than that either. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the culture is conspiring to separate people from Christ, because part of being a Christian is having peace. Peace that passes understanding. Peace that sustains itself, even in a culture that is so radically divided and hostile. And so, you know, there's a place where the church can speak clearly to specific issues, as it did with William Wilberforce and slavery, as it is now with abortion. Those are things that we all agree that are wrong. But at the same token, you need to understand, not you personally, you understand this already, but let's take, for example, the Civil War. Some of the very best theologians that this country had to offer were in the South and making apologies for slavery.
Right, that's right.
And, you know, some of, probably the best mind of the time was a fellow named R.L. Dabney.
R.L. Dabney, bravo. You study sometimes, don't you?
No, every once in a while.
Yeah, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Well done.
But this guy was Jackson's chaplain. But even today, if you read Dabney outside of his apologies for slavery, this guy was a brilliant theologian. And there were many like him in the South. We really need to be careful when we address these issues that we're doing it from a biblical perspective. And if you're actually working with a liturgy, when you're actually working with the church calendar, you're not going to be able to go off the top on a constant basis for all this partisan stuff. But again, my biggest concern is that if I am a committed Republican who wants to, be behind Trump and his administration all the way, and I want to convince my people that that's godly, then anybody who doesn't agree with that, which at this point is 50% or more of the country, is not going to want to hear me speak about Jesus. By the same token, if I'm a committed Democrat and I'm trying to further the agenda to get rid of Trump, then I am alienating this huge group of people who still need to hear about Jesus. And the one common denominator that we have today on the left and on the right politically is that nobody's acting very much like they've ever met Jesus.
You got that right. You know who benefits from this?
The devil.
Donald Trump does. Well, of course. Yeah. Besides, well, I guess I named him. But you know something? And no, he's not the Antichrist, but needless to say, a guy like him benefits greatly because his pastor is Paula White. She has a TV ministry. And he's going to be able to, she's going to be able to take care of her business. Now, we're not going to get into the fact of whether she should be a pastor or not. I'm more interested in what they teach. And I've already ruled her out years ago. Years ago. And I think most normal people or sane people do too. Anyone who's read a book or two. But that benefits him more than anything because her and her cronies are all going to be stumping for Trump behind the pulpit because they're all 501c3 ministries.
Right. And it will be cloaked in religious garb.
Right.
I see Greg Laurie from Calvary Chapel, who couldn't be any more antithetical to Paula White. But every day, you know, every other day, he's, you know, let's pray for the president. You know, the president's doing this. He's pumping for the president.
Plus, he's got a lot of reform people that are root for him, too. This guy can make his whole campaign thing for free, hitting up these churches and getting national TV time.
The reach is pretty astounding.
Oh,
and
I know.
But again, I'm not sure. And whether you're for him or against him, are we actually doing the job of a pastor? Are we actually doing what we're called to do in church when we're partisan on either side? Now, I am the polar opposite of Donald Trump.
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't be more strongly opposed to almost everything about the man.
Right.
That's for me and you to talk about over an adult beverage somewhere other than in my church.
Right, of course.
Okay. My job when I get to church is to preach the gospel,
mm-hmm.
pray with and for people, offer them the Eucharist, participate in the life of the church, and to bring them to a place where whatever they think about these political issues, they are engaging with them and with other people as a follower of Jesus, not as a partisan politician. And I mean, I have erred on the wrong side of this. In my mind, what I see going on in social media is just insane. My job is to get above it and to bring people together, not to separate them, but it's to bring people together under the flag of Christ, not of any political party.
Yeah, but your church split because of what you said about Donald Trump. And that's just a microcosm of what could really happen if all these pastors are going to be able to do these things and get behind the pulpits. You're going to have church split after church split after church split after church split. You're going to have a lot of sheep wandering around lost.
We already do.
Okay.
We already do.
And it could get worse is what I mean.
It could get worse. And again, either way you go, if you decide to do this in your church, you're alienating half of the country. In some ways, you're alienating a part of our demographic in this country. You know, when people talk about why millennials aren't going to church, they don't want to hear your crap, to be honest with you. They don't. I mean, if your church just became a subsidiary of Fox News or MSNBC, you can stay home and do that.
You sure can, can't you?
And see a much more polished presentation than you're going to get in the average church.
Plus, you can watch Paula White's church from your laptop.
Oh, my gosh. Our job is to be a sacred place that speaks of sacred things, that draws people into a sacred experience. And we can't do that when we are involved in partisan politics. We just can't do it. And, you know, the Bible is a big book. And church history covers a very long period of time. And it's those things, it's the book and that history and our God who provided us with both that is supposed to be the focus in our services. And frankly, I sincerely regret how I handled some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm extremely committed to not doing it again. I mean, if somebody asks me, I'll talk about it. But the way that I talk about it is going to be different than I have before. You know, and one of the other things too, Phil, is that when we're dealing with partisan politics on all of these issues, there's a lot of ground to cover. There's a lot of nuance involved.
Right, of course.
And there are places where left and right both have some things that need to be considered. Well, you can't do that if you've identified yourself as the voice of God speaking as a Republican or a Democrat, and by doing so you almost always demonize the other side. You're done. You're not allowed nuance. If you watch these networks, they don't present things from both sides. They don't present nuance.
They're like ODMs.
And they are so much like ODMs. You know, that's a really good call, to be honest with you, because when I'm watching news on TV, which I rarely do anymore,
right?
They seem to have that same complete blindness to any facts that would alter their narrative that the ODMs do.
And that's on both sides, by the way, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's
absolutely
terrible. It's awful.
And so, no, I don't want it in the church. I don't want it in my church. I want, if you're a Republican, I want you to feel like you can come worship Christ with us.
You go to church for. I don't go there to talk about Donald Trump.
No.
I don't worship him anyway. I'm a Republican technically, but I would never vote for Donald Trump.
Well, here's the thing, is that in 4 years or in 3 years, in 7 years, there will be a change in power.
Of course, there always is.
I don't want people that agree with me engaging in partisan politics in the pulpit. That's not the point of the church. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. And can politics be used sometimes to further the kingdom of God? Sure. But more often than not these days, that's not happening. The kingdom may progress in one area and it's being torn down in some other area. We need to preach the gospel. We need to live the gospel. And we need to be representatives of not the Republicans or the Democrats, but the kingdom of God.
Well, that's well said. You know what, though? We see that ODM nature. It's everywhere. And it's not just... I'm not just picking on online discernment ministries. That's what they call themselves. Well, they don't call themselves that. That's a purgative term, by the way. It's not a compliment. Never used it.
Hey, Phil.
Yes.
One of the ODMs the other day said that I coined that term. Did I?
You didn't coin that term. You know who coined that term?
No.
The Christian Research Network dot something else. The spoof site for Ken Silva's thing. They were the ones that carved.
They came up with the ODM thing.
Yeah, they did that. Yeah.
I was like, I don't think I did
it
that.
It was crn.info, I think. Christian Research Network.info, not .org, .info. That's the ones who did it. I'm sure of it.
I trust you because I just remember seeing that. I was like, I don't think I did that.
No, you didn't start that. I'll tell you who was a part of it. Well, that's fair enough.
I used it.
Yeah, sure. You know what? I understand. You know who else was it? Who started that too? It was with those guys, Richard Abanas. It was Richie and those guys.
It was Richie. It might have been Richie, period.
No, he wasn't. Maybe it was, but the guys from crn.info were the ones that started it, actually. And they were killing Ken Silva.
Oh, okay. Sorry for that. Side trail there.
No, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
I was going to ask you about that. And we'll send out a search party someday for Richie Abanas.
We should. I think he's doing probably whatever Richie does and probably doing it well.
And probably enjoying it a lot more than what he did before.
Well, yeah, really. That's kind of tough to stick up for Rick Warren. You know, he took a beating for that, too. Remember? He really took a beating.
Yes, he did.
I took a beating with him because I was sticking up for Rick Warren when no one else wanted to.
But again, see, this is another one of those issues, bringing it back full circle, to where there's no nuance.
None.
Rick does some great stuff. And he's, generally speaking, a really good guy.
Yeah.
But there are some methodologies that have come out of there that I have no truck with at all.
Right, me either.
So, you know, can we get some balance here? And why in the world would I talk about another man's ministry in my church?
Really? I told this one gal, she had this thing called the purpose drivel.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, I said to her, I said, you know what? Rick Warren didn't break up your church. Your pastor's lack of trust in his own, in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's leading ruined your church. He wanted to be like Rick Warren. That's what ruined your church, not Rick Warren. Rick Warren wrote a book based on his own experiences with building his own church.
Yes. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, those have become a template for, you know, you can be like this too. And again, that's something else that we just don't need. I'm satisfied with teaching the Word of God, worshiping God in spirit and in truth.
Right.
And leaving all of this stuff outside.
Yeah, thank you very much. You can get that on, you know, on your timeline on Facebook anymore. You're supposed to go to church to get away from all that crap.
Well, and to create, you know, hopefully as you attend church, as you sit under the teaching of the Word, and more than that, choose to become a doer of the Word and not just a hearer of the Word, this sort of strife that this partisanship engenders becomes something that you recognize as being sin.
Yeah, that's right.
And you realize at some point that what you're saying about other brothers and sisters in Christ is just simply not acceptable. And I have a lot of, I would say the majority of my readers, and undoubtedly a majority of the people that follow me on Facebook are probably supporters of this president.
Probably so.
And they are, for the most part, some of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet in your life.
Oh, yeah. I don't want him to fail because that means we're in trouble.
But I don't want to have our fellowship centered around our political beliefs.
Nor should it be.
Yeah, our fellowship is supposed to be centered around Christ. And if I'm pulling it into the pulpit every week or making it something that's very dominant in my church, it's not going to happen that way. Either way you go, you're telling a very large group of people you're not welcome here.
That's right. You know what you're supposed to tell them, Michael? What Danny Ray's trying to tell them in the song we're going to close with today. When I mess up for Jesus.
Nice segue, Phil.
I do my best.
You're doing well.
For Pastor Michael Noonan. Yes, sir?
Tell LeBron I said hi.
Yeah, I think that'll be another. That's for another day. For Pastor Michael Noonan. I'm Phil Nasons. Enjoy the song, and thanks for listening to Calvin's Corner.
The pastor called me up to sing a song one Sunday, but something went wrong that he didn't think was funny. When I turned around to say something to him, my guitar caught his toupee, and all you could see was skin. I mess up with all my might. I tried to put it on his head, but got it backwards. He turned red as took off like a rat across the floor. Now they don't let me sing there anymore. I meant well, I really did, I didn't mean it. He tried to hide his head, but everybody's seen it. And I tried my very best to make it right. I mess up with all my mind. Now the story in this song may bring you laughter, but there's a message for you hairy-headed pastors. If what we're seeing really isn't you, do me a favor, use a lot of super glue.